Our gospel for this day comes from the 14th chapter of the gospel called Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered Judas, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I bear greetings from the Oregon Synod, where I am a rostered pastor. I am called by the Synod as an interim pastor to serve churches that are in transition, sometimes churches that are in trouble, and I pray, please don't send me there. I have colleagues who are much better at that. I have served in Montana and in Oregon, and coming home to Hope is always coming home for me. So it's special that Pastor Dan asked, and in other times that I've been here, people have said, "Well, we'd like to have you come and preach." Yeah. Do you remember the story in the scriptures where Jesus goes to his home church in Nazareth? They almost threw him off the cliff. Yeah, it makes me pause. Yeah. Just a note about the flowers from Dorothy Steinstra's service yesterday, I have good memories of that family here at Hope from way back. So, I am glad that you are here. I mean, the massive asteroid that flew by and missed the Earth yesterday, I mean, that's kind of a scary thing, huh? Well, it missed us by over 3 million miles, but that's still close. And scary. We live in scary times, don't we? Every time I watch the news, things just seem to get scarier. It gives me a knot in my stomach. It's heartbreaking, it's maddening, it's sometimes unbelievable. Easter, church bombings. Now there's, in Sri Lanka, now there's been retaliation against the Muslims. It should not be. It is Ramadan for our brothers and sisters in the of the Muslim tradition. They are not our enemies. There are violence, power grabs, school shootings, flooding, earthquakes. The political climate, a climate that is doing nothing beneficial for anyone. It's enough to keep me from watching the news, and for the last few weeks, I haven't. So when I read the texts for today, and especially Psalm 67, which when I do worship, we do read the Psalms from time to time, and during Lent we sing them. But I'm going to read for you because it's so beautiful, Psalm 67. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us. Let your way be known upon the earth, your saving ways among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide them in and guide all nations of the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us. May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. I hope you'll take note of that psalm and read it at home, because it has a wonderful pattern to it that would be one whole sermon all by itself. But reading that and then the revelation, my soul began to be soothed. Did you feel something too? In these scary times, there is a need for hope. Not wishful thinking, but certainty about what is yet to be. But reading the Revelation, no S, the Revelation to John, is a difficult thing. It's a strange book. We don't have a lot of readings from the Revelation, mostly during Easter or sometimes at. It's filled with monsters and battles and violence and symbolism, judgment. All of that can be confusing and mysterious, yet this back in the first and second centuries. And despite the bizarre storytelling, it has had a profound effect on Western culture since it was first read. It has influenced the arts, literature, music, film, TV, the Left Behind series. Sorry, I don't mean to tell you I don't like it, but it's bad theology. But it has gotten people reading the scriptures, so who am I to judge? But for the most part, it is misunderstood. Partly or entirely. So let me diverge for a moment and go to the gospel. In the gospel, this beloved chapter 14, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure and their future without him. And he speaks to their troubled, confused hearts. They're anxious because they don't understand what's going on, what's about to happen, because what's about to happen is going to scatter them. But Jesus will round them up again. Those disciples would be drawn back by a resurrected Lord Jesus, back from the dead, in a new and different way. And they would be propelled out into a scary world, armed with God's truth, with God's love, with Jesus' promise that the Holy Spirit would carry them and inspire them. Those disciples didn't know it, but their future was beginning in that moment, before Jesus had even been arrested. And into the world they did go, to bring hope and promise. Many came to believe because of their ministry. In the book of Acts, there are stories after stories of people coming to faith in Jesus. Lydia, in our story today, Paul, Timothy, Dorcas, Cornelius, the centurion, Jews and Gentiles alike. That faith in Jesus Christ made scary times in the Roman Empire even more scary. In that day, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to believe that Jesus was Lord, was a threat to Rome and its power base. For centuries, Christians had struggled with violence and death, carrying the hope in the promises of God in Christ Jesus. In the revelation to John, the vision includes battles and violence, attacks, death, the four horsemen, all symbolic and coded for that day, yet it still speaks to us this day. If you go back to chapter 18, you'll find that the Roman Empire is being labeled foul, immoral, unjust, and that a funeral song was already being sung over it, that death had come to Rome and all the powers that be, that Rome's attempt to overthrow God's kingdom failed. Then we come to chapter 21 and 22 of our reading today, and the angel tour guide for John in the Revelation contrasts the ugliness of Rome with the community of God. Beautiful, adorned like a bride for her groom, coming out of heaven to earth. We tend to let this picture inform our understanding of heaven, of life after death, the New Jerusalem. Heaven, where we go when we have finished our life on earth. But did you really hear the vision? New Jerusalem comes down from the new heaven to the new earth. This can be read as a vision of hope for this world, for us. Not just for after death, but for today as well. Revelation lets us know that our future life with God begins now, today. Except it doesn't seem that way for us right now. But Revelation is the vision of God's ultimate goal for the world. Not for heaven, for the world. For the world. It is the vision God has had for creation since before Genesis. And it's not for a select few. It is a vision for the whole world. The whole world. A city with walls. A community of faith that is far more expansive than Rome or any other empire. And completely inclusive. Those whose names are in the book of life. Guess what? None of us know whose names are in the book of life. And when that book is read, we'll all be surprised. Because the names in that book of life are the ones that God has invited out of Rome. Out of the violence, out of the hatred. God's vision of life and community is for restoration and completion of creation. A dream that invites anyone to come. It said all nations, all rulers, all peoples came into the New Jerusalem with their glory. And in that New Jerusalem, God's throne will come from heaven to the earth, it says, and all will know God face to face. The tree of life will be restored to the earth for us, for healing, The water of life that flows in that river from the throne of God sustains and cleanses us. Many in our world long for this vision. They cling to life wondering if there is any hope. Some are sitting in this sanctuary. Some are our neighbors or co-workers, and some live in other places in the world that are broken and seem hopeless. In the aftermath of the worst people can do to each other, bombings and shootings and shutting doors and gates and building walls, there is a song that keeps soothing people in this world. It's imperfect. It's controversial. Some think it's a communist manifesto or part of the communist manifesto. It's ageless and filled with a vision for something different than the world offers. And maybe it's a little peek at God's vision. Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries, no nothing to kill or die for, no religion. Imagine people living life in peace. And then that chorus, sing it with me if you know it. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will live as one. Yeah? Okay, some of you aren't boomers. It's an anthem for peace. Not for abolishing anything. It's not pie in the sky dreaming, but a vision of a human being inspired by some poetry and a Christian prayer book about the people of the world working and living together. It's a dangerous vision. It's God's vision for the New Jerusalem that's dangerous. Dangerous to the powers, to us, to the world. And yet this is the community that Jesus was building in his life and ministry. It is the ministry that he commissioned the disciples to build up the kingdom, not as an exclusive place, an outcluding kind of place, but a welcoming place to work for the restoration of God's broken world. We need to quit the, I have the one true religion. You don't know how to read the Bible. I do. Or my God is better than your God, because it's all meaningless. I want that pie in the sky vision that God has. A kingdom, a community of faith, of peoples that would join together to work and make that vision a reality now, today, in this place. And not to fill the pews or have the best buildings, but to build God's kingdom. God's vision in the revelation to John is beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. It is a community that is expansive, with symbolic walls to show the community gathered together, with gates that never close because it never is night. It is always light because God and the Lamb are there. That we would find peace and joy and the grace of God and eat of the fruit of the tree of life and drink from the crystal clear stream of the river of the water of life, The revelation proclaims boldly that it is God who reigns, not the empire, not whatever powers are in play, but that God reigns in the New Jerusalem for the healing and restoration of all creation for today and forever. Imagine that. Amen. Let us sing, shall we gather?